Hi, my name is Carla, and I'm a children's specialist at the St. Paul Public Library. Welcome to Catch a Chapter. I will read for you the first chapter of an ebook that I checked out through our website, sppl.org. This book is also available through the library as a regular print book, so if you like what you hear, you have options for continuing to read the book. Just go to our website and explore. This book is called The Great Shelby Holmes, written by Elizabeth Uhlberg and published by Bloomsbury. Chapter 1. Every writer needs a good story to tell. So here was my problem. I had nothing to write about because nothing exciting had ever happened to me. Seriously, nothing. Zip, zilch, nada, diddly squat. You'd think that someone who grew up on 4 different army posts in 11 years would have witnessed at least one exciting thing. Yeah, you'd think. Nope. My life equals boring. Then we moved from Maryland to New York City, and my new neighbor tried to blow up the building. Sure, it all started like your average moving day for the Watson family. I'd gotten used to the constant packing and unpacking that came with having a mom in the military, but this time was supposed to be different. Mom and I were going to settle here in an apartment at 221 Baker Street. We were even flattening out the boxes and leaving them outside by the curb instead of saving them for the inevitable future move. Oh, and this was also the first time we were moving without Dad. As much as a writer needed to tell the whole story, I wasn't ready to go there. Yet. So yeah, it was your typical moving day. Or so it seemed. It figured that the moment Mom became a civilian and we were off the military post and allegedly safe, we found ourselves dodging an explosion. Boom! Our entire apartment shook. Mom grabbed me and pulled me down to the floor, covering my head. The 4 bulky movers attempted to seek shelter behind our furniture. The only person who wasn't ducking for cover was our new landlady, Mrs. Hudson. Oh, heavens, she exclaimed with a shake of her head. No need to panic, everybody. It's really nothing. She excused herself, muttering, I told her not today, under her breath. Maybe explosions were a routine occurrence in this apartment building. If that was the case, I'd take the army post any day over some crazy New Yorker with a stick of dynamite. The building was eerily silent for a few minutes, and we all returned to the business of moving and unpacking boxes. Mom gave me an uneasy smile. Well, John, it looks as if you finally have something exciting to write about in your journal. Yeah, though I could have done without the stress of thinking we'd been bombed. For some reason, my grandma insisted on giving me a journal for my birthday every year. They were half filled with unfinished stories of space travel and doodles of my unoriginal comic book characters, Awesome Dude, Tarantula Man, Sergeant Speedo, and Amazing Girl. I stuck to fiction, since there wasn't a reason to journal about my real life, because my life was boring, dull, uninteresting, lackluster, monotonous, unexciting. Grandma had also given me a thesaurus. I guess you could think that moving to a new place was exciting, but it was something we did so often that it was more of a pain, and it was hard. New friends, new teachers, new routine. Once I got all that down, the days on post would always run together. School, playground, homework, and bedtime. Repeat. Then we'd move, and it would start all over again. It didn't matter if I was in Georgia, Kentucky, Texas, or Maryland. Somehow, it was always the same. All that was about to change. Sorry, Mrs. Hudson re-entered our apartment, pulling someone behind her. You know what to do, she ordered through clenched teeth. A skinny white girl with bright red frizzy hair came forward. She had on an oversized white lab coat and goggles pushed up on her forehead. From the waist up, she was covered with black soot, except for where her goggles had been. She placed a hand on her hip. I've been informed by Mrs. Hudson that my harmless and perfectly safe experiment has made for an unpleasant moving day for you. I've been instructed to apologize. She sighed heavily. Ah, did she consider that an apology? Thanks, dear. Do you live in the building? Mom asked, always in a rush to make friends for me whenever we got to a new place, mostly out of guilt, since she was the reason we had to move so much. But this girl, who looked to be no older than 7, was way too young for me to hang out with. I just turned 11. I didn't need to spend the rest of my summer babysitting, especially some weird science geek. Yes, upstairs in 221B, the girl walked over to Mom and extended her hand to shake. How long were you in Afghanistan? She asked. My mom's arm paused in midair as she glanced over at me. We were both thinking the same thing. How did she know that? The girl continued, "You're an army doctor, I presume? And by the way you favor your right leg, it appears that you injured your left side somehow. Hip? I hear shrapnel could be quite painful." This was strange on so many levels, mostly because whenever my mom's military service and injury were brought up, people avoided eye contact and spoke in a hushed voice. Not this girl. Nope. It was like she was asking about the weather. Her tone was even, while her gaze mostly remained on Mom, but occasionally her attention would switch gears as if she was looking for something. Mom's jaw was practically on the floor. "How did you?" She was cut off by the sound of broken glass coming from the living room. "Awesome. Moving day kept getting better and better." One of the movers removed a blanket that had been protecting a floor-length mirror. "This wasn't wrapped up tightly enough." The guy shrugged and continued to unwrap the blanket. Couldn't be helped. "Stop!" the girl shouted at him. She strode over and examined the broken glass. Mrs. Hudson laughed lightly to break the tension. "Oh, it's just this thing she does." Okay. As if that explained what was going on. Were all New York City kids like that? "Hey!" the mover yelled at her. "What are you doing?" The girl was on her hands and knees, her face mere inches from the guy's feet. Quickly, she jumped up and wiped her hands. "He kicked the mirror in." "I didn't," the mover began to protest. She pointed to his shoe. "Based on the angle of the hole in the mirror, which is the size of the toe of your boot, the hole occurred at an upward trajectory, an angle that matches the height of our front steps. Therefore, I've correctly deduced that you did indeed kick the mirror while walking up the steps. While in all probability said event was an accident, it certainly was your fault." The only thing clear to me was that I now lived among bombers and freaks. "Would you care for me to draw a diagram, or are you going to save us all time and confess?" The mover stood there, dumbstruck. The rest of us were shocked as well, except for Mrs. Hudson, who seemed amused and maybe a little bit tired. The mover stuttered for a few moments before bending down so he was eye to eye with the girl. "Who are you?" Her lips curled upward into a satisfied smile. "I'm Shelby Holmes. Detective Shelby Holmes." And that's the end of chapter one. I hope you liked it, and if you want to continue reading The Great Shelby Holmes by Elizabeth Uhlberg, go to our library website at sppl.org. Thanks for listening.